Hello and welcome to Bingeworthy, a podcast dedicated to telling you which of these many dozens of streaming shows that are being thrown at you each week and month are worth your time and attention. Hosted by myself, Mike D'Angelo, and today I get to talk to you about the latest sci-fi drama called Silo. It premieres on Apple TV Plus on Friday, May 5th. Based on the popular book series, the show takes place in a post-apocalyptic Earth where the only people left alive live in an underground silo because the Earth has become too toxic for people to live in. The show stars Rebecca Ferguson, David Oyelowo, Rashida Jones, Will Patton, Ian Glenn, Common, Tim Robbins is in there. Joining me to discuss the show is star Rebecca Ferguson, who you may know from the Mission Impossible series, Dune, The Greatest Showman, Dr. Sleep, so much more. She's so great to speak with and talk to about this stuff because you can tell she is a fan of the projects that she picks, and Silo is no different. She's even an executive producer on this one. But we also talk about Dune 2 and Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning and more. The show itself, Silo, is what I would call a must-watch for a lot of sci-fi fans. Not only is the acting top-notch, but the creator, Graham Yost, who also did Justified and Sneaky Pete, and he also executive produced The Americans and Slow Horses, stuff like that. He and his team do a great job of really delving into the world of Silo. Everything feels tangible and lived in. There's a detective mystery at the heart of it that Rebecca Ferguson is more or less saddled with unraveling that really works. The commentary on humanity and civilization works, and governments manipulating people through the control of information, that's especially timely. And it ends on a note that you're definitely going to want to see what happens next if you have not already read the books like me. But before we get to my chat with Rebecca Ferguson, I've got to tell you that Bingeworthy is a part of the Playlist Podcast Network. This includes the Playlist Podcast, The Discourse, The Rogue Ones, Deep Focus, and more. We can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Anchor FM, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Follow, like, subscribe, drop us a rating on any of those as we greatly appreciate it. Or just head on over to theplaylist.net for film and TV news, interviews, reviews, and more. Okay, as a reminder to our listeners, Silo premieres on Friday, May 5th on Apple TV+. All right, here's my chat with the wonderful Rebecca Ferguson. Rebecca.
Hi.
Wonderful to speak with you today.
Lovely to talk to you too. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just finished Silo, so I'm doing very good. Excellent work.
Oh, wow. Really? Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I pumped it in over a weekend, and let's just start, you know, at the beginning for you. I love this kind of like immersive sci-fi that kind of like helps you feel the world. I feel like I really know the Silo. So I want to know, as far as Juliet goes, how did the role come to you? What made you ultimately say yes to it?
It came to me, Graham sent it, Yost, the showrunner. And I read it and I enjoyed the journey. I always look for the arc of character. I always look for how much fun I'll have with the character, what the challenges are, the environment, the people around it, who's producing it. The fact that it was Apple made it very interesting because I find their shows really high quality. I love their shows.
They've got a lot of good stuff.
So many good stuff. I mean, I'm very proud of being a part of their family right now. But I didn't love it. I didn't love a couple of episodes. And I was honest, we had a conversation and I told them what it was. And we kind of left it at that. They went their way and I kept on searching back. I kept on asking my agents, have they cast it? Like, do they have her yet? And they were like, no. They kept on asking, has she gone? We kept on searching for each other.
Yeah.
And then we had another meeting and they had changed the things that I was seeking. And I saw that there was enormous creativeness, like an openness for a creative collaboration. And then they offered me the exec role. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is your first EP role, right?
Yeah.
And you've been quick to kind of downplay, like, yes, in recent interviews, yes, I got to contribute some ideas. But I'm curious where those, like, even in broad strokes, what were you looking to kind of switch over as an EP?
I think for me, I sometimes feel like we often lack control over the narrative and the you know, we sign on to something, we sign on to a good script and good people. And many times out comes a great film as well. And sometimes not. And I think I am at a stage in my life where I want to enjoy the journey, but I really would like to understand the narrative. And I want to understand what the final product is going to be if I'm going to put a lot of effort into it. And it's something shooting a movie for a month or 2 months, it's all right. It could be a disaster. It could be equally good. But if I'm going to do a show that might have 3-4 seasons,
yeah,
then I really want to be a part of the big table, and I want to be a part of controlling cast and head of departments and have a say in the rooms of edit. So it's important. It was very important to me to have the role, and I was very happy that they offered it.
Yeah, she's such a full role, Juliet. She's, you know, determined and strong and capable, but also like very vulnerable and flawed. And that's like the mark of a great character, where you can balance those really well.
Mm.
So was that all on the page, or did you feel the need to like really enhance that part?
No, that was really on the page. And I think that was so much on the page and also in the book by Hugh,
mm-hmm.
that it was one of the things that I was drawn to with her, was the catharsism and the brokenness and the trauma that she's gone through. And for me, it was just about how do I make that into a character and display it for the show? You know, it's one thing reading it on paper, but how do I find the subtlety? I mean, that's my job to do when with the director.
Absolutely.
And that was fun, you know. I studied a lot of trauma. I said that in a lot of interviews, I know, but for me, it was the most important thing. How do you express the sedative trauma?
Mm.
Because that is basically it, right? Someone who's lost a lot of people and pushed it all down and then focused on mechanical work. It says a lot of her as a character.
Yeah. And my understanding, I haven't read the books. I didn't know it was a book series until I was like 5 episodes in. I'm like, this feels like a book. And I looked into it and I'm like, yep, okay, there's a book here. My understanding is that they kind of branch off and they start focusing on other characters and then kind of bring everyone together. Do you know, is that the plan going forward, is to kind of like make this a bigger, larger world? Or what do you think the plan would be?
I think there's always a plan. If there's stories, there will be plans to want to continue it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think at this stage, we're just so happy with what we have created. We need to get it out there. We need people to watch it. We need your reviews to be phenomenal. No, but you know, some things take a bit of time to catch on. I have faith. I have faith in it. And I also really would like to continue it, because it's just the beginning of all the characters. It's just the beginning of where it can be taken. It's now it starts, you know.
Yeah,
if we do this, let's do it, you know. That's kind of my opinion.
The way it ends definitely feels like that, like,
yeah,
oh, this is a whole new thing.
Did you actually enjoy it, like, between you and me?
Yeah, I thought it was great.
You did?
Yeah, I really like, I'm a sucker for sci-fi that you can feel the world and you can really like smell and taste the silo. And I think that's a really
important. Can you see me now?
Yeah
This is nice. I'm sitting by a radiator in my home.
But
so much more personal.
I love how real and lived in the silo feels. How practical was it versus how much was it like, we have to just pretend this is green screen and we're going to figure that out?
No. The sets were enormous. It was so impressive for what we could do. I mean, the fact is we're inside, so we don't have natural habitats. We don't have mountains and views and skies, so we have to create the feeling of claustrophobia but yet create the large scale. It's such a juxtaposition to create that huge scale but yet create that feeling of being enclosed.
Yeah,
and they did, and every single room has personalized detail to make that character's location different from others.
Mm-hmm.
And the stairs, I mean, god, huge sets. Annoyingly huge sets.
That's awesome. Speaking of great book series, I have to mention Dune. I'm wearing a Dune shirt right now, for crying out loud.
Show me.
Yeah, right here. So it's just the basic Dune.
Oh my
outline.
God, love
but,
it.
Yeah, it was my favorite movie of 2021. I'm so excited for Dune 2. I have to ask, you know, how the shooting experience was for Dune 2, what you can tease.
I love Dune as well. Phenomenal. Yes. What can I tell you about it? I can tell you that, did you read the books? Do you know the story?
I mean, I have a
you did
couple
read
of
it,
things
obviously.
Here. I can't even see them. Yeah, it's like my background's like...
Okay, so you know where it ends. You know there's a second...
I know the second half of this book is going to get pretty epic, yeah.
It's going to become pretty epic. And I know I've said it before, but for people who enjoyed it, I loved it. I know that the second one is going to be better because of the scope and the scale and the characters and the grittiness and the, I mean, Jacqueline, the costume designer, I mean, Donald Moat, the makeup artist's work on this is extraordinary. Yeah.
Well, that you get
Patrice,
to welcome.
The set designer, it went so well the first one, so why stop there, right?
Yeah. And you're welcoming in like Austin Butler and Christopher Walken and Florence.
Lea Seydoux and Florence. And
how was that experience getting the
phenomenal.
New people in?
I mean, it's just insane. It's so, Denny really knows how to cast good people. Like kind, genuine, good people.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes set life fun, exciting, phenomenal scenes. I mean, there's a scene where, I won't go into detail, but my character is in a high up position in power and in geographical. And there's a moment between Timothy's character and the Emperor, played by Christopher Walken. And I was sitting there just thinking, oh my God, I'm just watching Christopher Walken right now in action. It's so absurd. You know, you just get those moments sometimes, even though I'm behind a veil, but it's just.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have, you know, Epic on the other side of things. You have the Mission franchise. Like what the hell is going on in your career? It's like insane. Somehow the next one looks like it's the biggest one yet. What can you say about what you got to do and all that?
That's Mission, isn't it? I mean, it's always, I remember shooting Fallout, the last one.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful. And thank you. I love it. I mean, I love it. I should probably say thank you, but I'm like, I know. But I remember being there. I remember having dinner with Tom, and I remember sitting talking about them, not me, Chris and Tom talking about something. And I remember just listening in thinking, what is this? Oh, they're discussing the possible stunts for the next one. Like they're constantly ahead. We haven't even finished filming. And it's like, oh my God, wouldn't it be incredible if we did this and this? And what if we created this and then she does this? And they live it, you know, every time they outsmarten themselves. Like it's never ending.
Do you feel the need to participate more on the stunt side because of all the stuff that Tom's does? Or are you just like, I'll do what I do?
He, I think, showed me and Wade the world of physical action and stunts and taught me so much. And it keeps you, I mean, if you're good at it, and I really enjoyed it. And there are some things I'm good at, some things I'm not equally as good at, but the fact that I'm able to do it and the fact that they believe that I'm able to do it and I get to do it is 80% of the job in a Mission film. You know?
Yeah.
If you would go in and do a Mission film and not do the stunts, if you're a physical character, I mean, sure, I'm not saying the character's not good in itself, but it comes with so much.
Yeah. Yeah. So much of what you learn through the character is through the action. So
yeah.
If it's not you, then you're learning about it through the stunt performer. So yeah,
exactly.
I get wanting to have ownership over that. They're giving me one more question. So one thing I've noticed is, you know, across your career here, you kind of have steered clear of a big superhero franchise, you know, over whether intentionally or not. Is there any interest there? Or is that one of the things where it's like, hey, you know, maybe I don't want to be in a big superhero tentpole and I'll just do the other stuff that interests me?
I have not stayed clear from it. Mm-hmm. I've had possibilities, but it needs to be, number one, for me, it needs to be a really fucking cool character.
Yeah.
She needs to be a standalone character who isn't an entity of someone else's power, because it's not fun.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it. And because there are a lot of fantastic actors out there, you know, it's, I don't know. I haven't been searching. It hasn't been my go grab. It's always a puzzle, isn't it? When does it suit? Is it the right character? Does the offer come? Et cetera, et cetera. I never say no. A lot of people say to me, you're becoming the sci-fi queen. And I think I'm not searching the bloody sci-fi. I think I like the characters. It's endless. Absolutely. The imagination is endless. It's fun. I like the physicality of it. I like staying in shape. I like having fun. I'd love to do an indie. Hard to get indies. They're very difficult to get. So you have to write them, create them. It's tricky.
But also these characters are the ones we get to invest in on TV and in Silo and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I bring it to them. You know? Well, that's my plan anyway. That's what I try.
Yeah. Okay. I will just say for our listeners, Silo premieres on Apple TV Plus on Friday, May 5th. Rebecca is outstanding in it. Rebecca, thank you so much. I can't wait for Mission. I can't wait for Dune 2. I can't wait for season 2 of this. It's going to happen. I'm saying it now.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah,
thank you so much
I'm
for
hoping.
Your time.
Yeah, and I'll speak too. To you soon again.
Sounds good. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We do not know why we are here. We do not know who built the silo. And why we are underground. We only know the world outside our sanctuary is death.
If you boil the pact down to one rule, it's do not say you want to go outside. Or you will go outside.
Don't you ever think about the world beyond the silo?
What if what we see is not what's out there?
Down in Mechanical, there's always someone who has a theory about the silo. I need to find out the truth.
I found something that might hold the answers to a lot of questions.
You have to stay quiet. And keep your head down.
Are you willing to give everything you have for this?
The clock is running. There isn't much time left.
This is a threat to order in the silo.
I don't care about order. What about finding out the truth?
Some mysteries are best left unsolved.